You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
May the 28th, 2020, during yesterday's program, there were no riots in Minneapolis or anywhere else because of the black man held to the ground with a police officer's knee on his neck as the man continued to say, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and the officer did not let him up. There were no riots yesterday. I did not want to venture into the possibility it would happen. In fact, I said I really don't like using the term riot. For what we'd seen up to that point, there were demonstrations, some unruly to the extent that police had to use tear gas to disperse them. And yes, someone brought a grocery cart filled with rocks for folks to use to throw at police, but it had not escalated. I knew it probably would, but I didn't want to speculate that it would, because I wouldn't want anyone to say, "Well, I think you're encouraging such action." No, I wasn't. And that's why I decided to let's just be careful with using that term riot. But it happened overnight. It happened overnight. Fires, vandalism, stealing, breaking into stores, stealing TVs, and what does that have to do with the death of a man at the hands of police? A black man and white police officers. None of that breaking into stores, vandalizing, the looting, the fires has anything to do other than some consider they are justified. They are justified in doing so. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next couple of hours, because there is no justification. But some in the left are saying, "Yeah, but what else can they do? What else can they do? Obey the law. Have your peaceful protest as you're guaranteed under the Constitution. You're not guaranteed a right to riot, vandalize, and go become arsonist." All right, where do we stand? Of course, on the infections around the world, 5.7 million from the virus, 357,000. In the U.S., 1.7 million deaths, 100,000. 442 at last check. 100,442. Yes, we crossed that 100,000 mark. And I told you, watch the mainstream media just go ballistic, screaming it in the headlines everywhere. Oh, they addressed it, but their plans to blast it repeatedly in connection with blaming Trump kind of had to be diminished. Oh, they are and will continue to make the connection. But the death of the black man at the hands of Minneapolis police, plus that rioting, that kind of stole their thunder for making a big deal of the 100,000 mark. And they're acting like Trump has been indifferent. No, he did not. He actually acknowledged. He said that reaching this 100,000 coronavirus deaths is, quote, a very sad milestone. That's not enough for the leftists. You can't just say, "It's a shame we've reached this very sad milestone." They want you, Trump, to acknowledge, "And I'm responsible for it. All my fault." Well, he didn't do that for obvious reasons. And also, new update figures on unemployment. 40 million across our nation now unemployed, as we're still trying to reopen the economy and get fired up again. I've got a CNN analysis piece I'll read to you in detail a little bit later. It is filled with fabricated connections linking Trump to any of the deaths in a piece titled, the title tells you everything, "They Didn't All Have to Die." That's aiming at Trump. I'll break it down for you. Plus, Nancy Pelosi not even attempting to hide the leftist plan, admitting they plan to use the pandemic as an excuse, an opportunity to change our nation, and they're actively doing it as much as they can. You hear Nancy Pelosi's words. It's a great crisis. That's what she's suggesting. Now, how does that equate with those lives lost, looking at it as a political gambit? President Trump making moves to try to crack down on social media outlets, see what he can get started to curb them and their falsehoods, and also a fiery battle between two financial news anchors. If you think financial news was boring, it wasn't on this particular occasion. We've got that and a lot more coming up over the next 2 hours. Let your friends, family, neighbors, even your enemies know we are on the air. We are on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He screamed, "Mama, mama, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And they just didn't care. They treated him worse than they treat animals, and I wouldn't treat an animal like that. They took a life, now they deserve life. I don't feel sorry for them. They hurt me, and they hurt my family.
That is the brother of George Floyd, the black man in Minneapolis, held to the ground by one officer in particular, with his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck. And the officer made no effort to do anything other than just keep his knee on the guy's neck. Now, at that point, he's handcuffed, his hands are behind him, he's under control. And as he continued to say, "I can't breathe, I need water, my stomach hurts," the officer was indifferent, just kind of looking around at the crowd. And I'm not going to try to speculate what was going on in his mind. He might have been looking for someone getting ready to create additional violence. But at the same time, he was ignoring the man he had under his knee. He held that knee on the guy's neck for 6+ minutes. Some say up to 7.5. And then he ceased breathing. The DOJ is stepping up. Now, President Trump had said yesterday he wanted a Justice Department investigation. He said, "At my request, the FBI and the Department of Justice are already well into investigation as to the very sad and tragic death in Minnesota of George Floyd." Trump is not taking sides. signaling support for law enforcement when it's done correctly, but also expressing sympathy to Floyd's family. Again, he said, I've asked for this investigation to be expedited. Greatly appreciate all of the work done by local law enforcement. My heart goes out to George's family and friends. Justice will be served. Four officers in the incident were fired. So far, no charges. No charges. The other thing you have to keep in mind, when something like this happens and it's captured on video and quickly goes viral and showing how it went down, it raises a lot of questions about the police activity and what they were doing. That and the fact immediately no charges, and charges should be filed when you have proper evidence. I'm not saying rush to judgment even on charges, but at the same time, the video is pretty self-explanatory, but again, that's not the summation of everything. In my opinion, the officer at that point should have ceased. You've got the man in custody, under control. You can take your knee off the back of his neck. When you put your knee into the neck, be it on the back or the side or the front, you're basically on the edge of taking someone's life. And in that case, that's exactly what happened. I'll remind you that police were called to the area, supposedly that someone was involved in some kind of fraud. And they got there and they found George Floyd and another man in a car. They asked him to get out. The passenger got out okay, no problem. George was a little reluctant, but finally he got out. And he began, I wouldn't say argue with police. We've got the video up at Larry Connors USA Facebook, if you still haven't seen it. And then they walk him over to the sidewalk, put him up against a wall, and he slumps down and sits. Then they come over to pick him up and take him, I guess, to a squad car at that point. Now, we don't have the video, for I haven't seen it anywhere, as to what happened from the time they began to walk him to the squad car to the next scene showing him down on his face with the officer's knee in his neck. I know folks have asked, why isn't that video shown? Well, the sources I've seen don't have it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I haven't seen it so far, and it may still surface. So we don't know exactly what happened once they got to the patrol car. All we see is the end result. One officer with his knee on the guy's neck. He's obviously restrained. He's not flailing around, not even trying to. He doesn't have his hands free, so he's obviously been handcuffed. Why they kept him on the ground at that point in that position is another issue. Put him in the car. You've got him handcuffed. Put him in the patrol car. Nothing I saw gives any reason not to do so. But again, I'm not there. I don't like second-guessing and not being involved. And I am very, very pro-police, but I'm not pro-police when they go rogue or when they commit acts that I think they shouldn't have. Even if it's by accident, they are human as well. And yes, police have to make a quick judgment sometimes. They operate on the philosophy, I would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. But in this case, there was no direct threat we saw the officers at any point. At any point. Not on the video shown. So the DOJ, at the president's request, is getting involved. And the DOJ says it's going to make it a top priority. A top priority. Promising a robust probe by the FBI. But again, last night, true rioting started. Not just protest, rioting and looting and arson. And not only confined to Minneapolis, but also in L.A. The same kind of thing happened. Protest in L.A. again over George Floyd's death. American flag burned, Highway 101 blocked for a period of time. And, of course, they've been through that numerous times in the past with other cases. Do you see any justification? Can you see any justification for that kind of response by the community, regardless of what happened? Rioting, going to the streets, vandalism, looting, arson. Is that doing anything good to bring the officers to justice if they're wrong? No. Is it doing harm to the black community? Yes. Is it doing harm to those business owners that were victimized and they had nothing to do with anything? Yes. And is it an excuse to steal and plunder? Yes. Some will use it that way. We saw it in the Ferguson case in particular after the death of Michael Brown. There were good people, and of course, I'm waiting for somebody to start saying, oh, you're talking about good people on both sides? Yeah, I... There were good people holding their protest at that time regarding Michael Brown, and they were peaceful for the most part. But then you get the other crowd coming in, the thugs, who want to use this as an excuse and a reason to riot. And they get support from Hollywood elitists. Rapper Cardi B, on the record, in one of her accounts, her tweet account, saying the looting in Minneapolis, or rather in Minnesota, and as much as I don't like this type of violence, it is what it is. Too much peaceful marches, too much trending hashtags, and no solutions. The people are left with no choice. They're left with no choice. Well, like most on the left side, there is nothing wrong if you riot, burn, and commit crimes after, in particular, a black man is killed by white police officers. There is no justification, and it serves no purpose to any good. If you think there's injustice be done in the street or in the court, if it's a verdict regarding Rodney King, or a verdict regarding O.J. Simpson, or a street incident as we saw here, what does rioting, looting, arson, and other vandalism have to do with getting closer to justice? None. I still believe that O.J. Simpson got off, that he did, in fact, commit two murders, but he got away, and when they find him not guilty, that's it. I still don't believe it, but I have to accept the issue of justice and the trial. You did not see a lot of folks rioting because of that. There are those out there always looking for an opportunity. If you have a Super Bowl football team or World Series in some cities, if they win, they still riot, set fires, arson, vandalism, and use it as an opportunity to steal. That's when you've got a good thing for you. So you take something like this, it is clearly like putting a match to gasoline. Multiple buildings in Minneapolis burning overnight because of these protests. And businesses, including an auto zone, a food store, an apartment complex under construction, all set on fire. Did that resolve anything? No. Does it bring us closer to justice and getting the officers clearly in front of a judge and a court to decide what they did wrong or right? No. So you got police having to skirmish with these guys. Police firing rubber bullets and tear gas. And there'd been a little bit of that breaking out Tuesday night in advance of yesterday's morning program, but not that much. But last night the idea was it's our city and we do what we want. We'll take advantage of it. And we don't care. Well, in the process, someone was killed. There was a death. The circumstances of the death are still being investigated. Man found dead on a sidewalk. Shot to death. Not been identified, has not been identified even by race, to my latest check. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reports police were also working at least five others shot by gunfire throughout the night. In this fatality, the newspaper is reporting it's believed the man killed was the owner of a pawn shop, and he opened fire on the guy because he was burglarizing his business. Again, the case is still being investigated. Police say at this time, the death of that man is being investigated as a homicide. The problem we have every time something like this happens, you have folks who want to take advantage of it, and they use it to justify what they do. They can do what they want because, following up on the remarks of rapper Cardi B, well, what else have we got to do? And I think Ice Cube, not Ice-T, but Ice Cube was one of the others yesterday, was saying, when are we going to fight back? I mean, that's almost encouraging people to go out on the streets. Got more to say on this in the second hour. And I'll tell you more about exactly what Ice Cube said. But I also want to get to a situation where racial attitudes are punished. And rightly so. And one of them linked to the Minneapolis case. Details still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When things like this death in Minneapolis happen, you do have those who come rushing in looking for an opportunity to create mayhem and chaos and steal TVs. Steal TVs or anything else they want. But there are also those on the other side who use it as an opportunity to, they think, make some kind of point. Sometimes they think they're funny. They're not funny. Let me give you an example. A Mississippi mayor of Peddle, Mississippi, that's about 90 miles southeast of Jackson, he had some remarks about this man being held down, George Floyd, by police in Minneapolis, and again with an officer pinning him to the ground, putting his knee on his neck for 6 to 8 minutes. While the video shows repeatedly, he says, I can't breathe, my stomach hurts, I need water, I can't breathe, and nothing was being done. This Mississippi mayor, and I don't know if he's leftist or right, it wouldn't make any difference to me if he's the strongest conservative in Mississippi. His remarks, not only uncalled for, but absolutely shameful. Mayor Hal Marks, weighing in on that video. And he does ask a legitimate question in some cases. Why in the world would anyone choose to become a police officer in our society today? I've raised that numerous times too. They are disrespected, not appreciated, and always a target, even if they're doing things right. But then he said, I don't see anything unreasonable in that video that led to the firing of the four officers. He said the cops involved are being crucified. And again, it's his personal perspective that he didn't see anything unreasonable. His perspective, not mine. And he says the cops involved are being crucified. Well, so far they haven't. No charges or anything. Then he wrote this. If you say you can't breathe, you're breathing. He said they were not restricting his breathing because he could talk. He believes a man died of an overdose or heart attack. Autopsy will determine all of that, but his remark that if you can talk, then obviously you can breathe. Well, that's not true. And even if you can, you can't say much, and eventually you can't talk because you have ceased breathing. And then in Louisiana, that's in Mississippi, and then in Louisiana, about 90 miles southwest of Baton Rouge, Kaplan, Louisiana, the police chief fired for what he wrote. He was dealing with a racist comment that he thought had been referring to the coronavirus. Someone had stated on a thread on a TV station, virus that was created to kill all the blacks is death. And then the police chief added this. Well, it didn't work. How unfortunate. They're saying the virus, according to one user, it was created to kill all the blacks, which is stupid. But then the police chief thought he would add his little comment, which I'm sure he thought was cute and probably accurate. Well, it didn't work. How unfortunate. Yeah, that guy should not be heading up a police department. We'll take a break and come right back.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rodler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So President Trump is making a move, ready to announce an executive order targeting social media companies. This would be a dramatic escalation by his war with some of those tech companies, in particular Twitter and so forth. The other day, Tuesday, Twitter started adding what it called a fact check. Said, we're going to fact check things, and if we see something wrong, we're going to therefore label them. And the first target was when President Trump was talking about mail-in balloting, obviously opening up the door to fraud numerous times and so forth and so on. And Twitter decided to put an exclamation and yellow writing on the wall of the tweet from the president, adding to it, saying, check the facts. In other words, suggesting the president was lying. He wasn't lying. There are obviously facts showing mail-in balloting often leads to fraud. All the time? No. Often? Yes. Because any way you can get into the system and manipulate votes, folks will do it. And not just Democrats. That happens on the Republican side, too. Not as often, but it does. But they decided that we will, as Twitter, we will decide what's accurate and what's wrong. And that we're going to do a better job of policing things. Whether or not, they're not, because As I'd mentioned yesterday, Kathy Griffin had a tweet up that said basically give Trump a syringe filled with air and made it clear this, yes, I want to kill him. And they did not challenge that. They did not take it down. They didn't say check the facts. And then, as I'd mentioned earlier, you got actor and rapper Ice Cube regarding the incident in Minneapolis, the death of George Floyd, as he's held down by a police officer. Ice Cube has 4.9 million Twitter followers. And he put up an image falsely linking the Minneapolis police officer holding down and with his knee in the back of the neck of George Floyd, put that picture up, and also put up a picture of a guy that looks similar to the officer wearing a cap saying, "Make whites great again," suggesting that the officer was also the one wearing that cap, "Make whites great again." Well, the image got quickly retweeted because when something like that goes out, it's on the run. And once it starts moving, you cannot begin to slow it down and stop it. The guy that was actually wearing the hat was a convicted felon, Jonathan Riches. He has a history of numerous lawsuits against the government for all kinds of things. Partly one of his incarcerations and everything else. And I don't have time to get into his history. But Ice Cube in that tweet wanted you to believe that the officer holding down George Floyd was the one and same wearing the cap that said, "Make whites great again." And Ice Cube in the tweet said, "A wolf in wolves' clothing. The demons are among us." Suggesting again that police are demons. And he also added on another tweet, "The FBI knows exactly who the racists are in each police department and still let them keep their jobs until something like this happens. Stop sitting on critical information. Weed them out, get them out now." And that tweet got replicated, retweeted more than 5,000 plus times. And one of them picking up, and that was direct from his tweet, one of them picking up is actress Rosanna Arquette. She retweeted it to her 100,000 plus followers, and how many times it got retweeted after that, we don't know. It was typical case of the horses are out of the barn and no way you could stop it. So this is the kind of thing that Trump is battling, because the Twitter accounts of the president are being scrutinized every time for any false information. This was clearly false. There is no marker on it by Twitter saying, "Check the facts," reference Ice Cube. Not one. So that's why the president says, "I think we need to do something about how they operate and rein them in." The official executive order still should come out sometime later today. There's a draft that's been circulating, and it targets part of the law known as the Communications Decency Act, Section 230, providing broad immunity to websites that curate and moderate their own platforms, has been described by legal experts as, quote, the 26 words that created the Internet. It argues that protections hinge mainly on tech platforms operating in good faith, and obviously many of them haven't. Draft order also accuses of social media platforms of, quote, invoking inconsistent, irrational, groundless justifications to censor or otherwise punish American speech. Twitter didn't respond to the draft at this point. Nargu, who was also called out for helping the Chinese government spread its message and surveil its own citizens, and Twitter for spreading Chinese propaganda, Facebook from profiting from Chinese advertising. None of that got called out. So the president thinks we need to get into this. And I think so too, because they are clearly looking to silence conservative voices. Why would you not call out and quickly label the remarks by Ice Cube as check your facts and it's wrong, when the picture obviously is not the officer on the ground holding the man down in Minneapolis? Well, because it kind of ruins their storyline, doesn't it? The president, in teasing his announcement this morning, put out another tweet saying, this will be a big day for social media and fairness. New York Times adding, the president is not alone in his criticism of Section 230. That remark, actually attributed to former Vice President Biden in January with the New York Times. Biden was saying it should be revoked, immediately should be revoked, because Twitter, Facebook, and others propagate falsehoods they know to be false. That's from Biden. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what the reaction is. But I will point this out to you. When Twitter announced the other day, Jack Dorsey saying, our intent is to, his words, connect the dots of conflicting statements and show the information in dispute so people can judge for themselves. More transparency from us is critical, so folks can clearly see the why behind our actions. That was his response to criticism that the company is primarily targeting conservatives. Not fact-checking Biden and the others, but conservatives. You have to look at who they put in charge of their Twitter verification. The guy they named, Twitter employee Yoel, Y-O-E-L, Yoel Roth, in 2016 and 2017, repeatedly put out tweets criticizing and showing his bias against the president. And this is the guy, the deciding factor as to if something is fact or not. This is a guy that gets to put a warning label on anything that he wants to and say, check the facts, at least suggesting it's inaccurate. You want to take someone with that kind of bias? Well, why not? I mean, we saw the FBI do it. We saw the FBI at the top do it. Comey, McCabe, Agent Stroke Smurf, and his lover, Lisa Page, they were all willing to target Trump in violation of standard protocol and FBI rules. And you try to point out the bias that existed as exemplified by the tweets between Page and Smurf Stroke, clearly showing a bias. And yet we're to believe, nope, that didn't affect our decision. They're saying it didn't affect their decision, and then their supervisor said, no, it didn't affect our decision, although it did to some extent. McCabe had to bounce Stroke Smurf off of one of the investigations because it's just too hot. This is how the game's played nowadays. This is how the game is played because they're going to take any opportunity that they can to take control, and the best way to take control is to silence you, to put something in your face that says, shh, no more, shut up, while letting the left run rampant. No questions, no charges, no suspicions about anything wrong. Someone shared with me earlier today a remark they had seen as to why churches opening up are being opened up primarily in conservative areas because, again, there's part of a plot. You want to fact check that? Let's get to that story after this break.
Writings on the wall.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So here comes the left's latest argument as to why the virus is good for getting rid of liberals. That's what they want you to believe. Yes. I mean, again, that's to blame Trump all the way around. But there's been a storyline going around that Trump wanting all the churches open, which he declared last week, that having them all open will expose more people to the virus and more will die. And there are those on the left saying it's all part of a plan, and in fact, Christians don't mind because they're looking at going to heaven anyway, so they don't care if they die. This is about as twisted as discussing jihad, carrying out a suicide attack so you can go have 70-plus virgins. It's such a far, far stretch, but they had no restraints on the left side. If they can find something they can kind of slam in, and somebody will bite on it, somebody will begin to say, you know, that's right, that's right. And by the way, for those of you who think, boy, watching financial news, that's just so boring. I mean, ticker tape, all this stuff. I mean, they have some engaging stories from time to time, and I often would try to watch a lot of it. Well, they have a couple of the anchors at CNBC, what the Squawk Box anchors, Andrew Ross Sorkin and Joe Kernan. I've watched Kernan for a long time. I haven't seen Andrew Ross Sorkin that much. But they got into a nasty on-air exchange, verbal jabs going back and forth. It all started when Kernan suggested that Sorkin had displayed a track record of overreacting to the virus that has now claimed 100,000 lives plus. And Kernan was talking about, you were always going to see the end coming with this. And Kernan started going down the panic that he thought Andrew Ross Sorkin was feeding. And that's where the fight started.
You panicked about the market, panicked about COVID, panicked about the ventilators, panicked about the PPE, panicked about ever going out again, panicked if we ever get back to normal.
Joseph, you didn't panic about anything.
What good is it? Why not help
people die?
Keep their head. I understand that.
100,000 people died, Joe, and all you did was try to help your friend, the president.
Totally unfair.
You abused and abused your
position. I'm trying to help investors keep their cool, keep their heads. And as it turned out, that's what they should have done. That's what they should have done. They should have kept their heads. If they had listened to you, Andrew, we're supposed to be at about 8,000.
I wasn't arguing to go sell your stocks, Joseph. I was arguing about people's lives.
Wow. And you thought financial news was boring? And you caught the line. You caught the line that Andrew Ross Sorkin, threw at Joe Kernan, saying 100,000 people died, Joe, and all you did was try to help your friend, the president. That's what you did. And adding, every single morning on this show, you have used and abused your position, Joe. You have used and abused your position. Kernan said, that's totally unfair. I'm just trying to help advisors, investors keep their cool. It all ended eventually with Kernan moving on and reading the headlines. CNBC not commenting on the little dust-off that took place on the air. And Kernan's point being that he thought all of Sorkin's remarks over and over again were sparking a panic. When I'm trying to keep the investors calm, don't go crazy. He said, you panicked about the market, panicked about COVID, panicked about ventilators, panicked about ever going out again, panicked if we'd ever get back to normal. And that's where Sorkin said, you don't panic about anything. You're just looking to protect your friend, the president. That last little firing line from Sorkin to Kernan, kind of tells you where Andrew Ross Sorkin is in his head regarding Donald Trump. You could take either side you want. That's up to you. Next time you're on a roller coaster, when they begin to open up at the parks, you might be told, make no noise. No screaming on the roller coaster. What? That's the whole idea. Get on a roller coaster and be scared to death. Click, 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 click to the top and zoom down and scare you. Of course, men don't. Yep, some do. Well, they have an amusement park they're going to open up in Japan soon, and they say they're going to be cleaner. They'll be safe for you to ride. You'll have to wear a mask. But again, when you're on that roller coaster, don't be screaming and making a lot of noise. Why? I mean, see, that's what normally pulls people over to ride the darn thing. But for some reason, they decided in the midst of this that we can remake amusement parks, such as not just checking your temperature, wearing masks, social distancing, but you get on the roller coaster, don't yell and scream. I guess the House of Fright is entirely out now. What do you think? That whole idea, though, of using this crisis as an opportunity to remake amusement parks, Nancy Pelosi and the left look at it as an opportunity to remake America. And she flat out admits it. Coming up in the next hour, you're going to hear her say it. You're going to hear her say clearly that this is a crisis that we can use. And CNN analysts blame Trump for all the deaths, suggesting we never would have had so many deaths except for Trump. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.